It's officially DC festival season, and we're super excited about this one coming up on May 18th. Africa on the Avenue is a celebration of the vibrant African immigrant community along Georgia Avenue Northwest. There's going to be interactive art installations, fashion shows, music, food, and local business stands. This one-day festival, organized by District Bridges' Lower Georgia Avenue Main Street program, truly has something for everyone. So I'll see you there on May 18th. Go to districtbridges.org to learn more.
Today on CityCast DC. So it looks like DC's budget is about to have a big fat hole in it. And that means the city is going to need to either cut stuff people like or raise taxes on someone. If you feel like we were swimming in cash not so long ago, you're not wrong. So how'd this happen? And what exactly is on the chopping block? Tristan Navarro from the Business Journal has been covering the story. Today is Monday, March 18th. I'm Michael Schaefer, and here's what DC is talking about. Hey, Tristan.
Hey, Mike.
So you wrote about the fact that DC might be facing a big budget deficit in 2025. This is kind of retro news for some of us and surprising, I think, to a lot of people, because the storyline for a long time has been DC having a surplus.
Yeah, well, it's been tough going for DC in the past couple of years. I mean, COVID, of course, messed up things for everybody, but the city's facing really kind of a triple, kind of quadruple whammy in some ways, if you think about it. City budgets tend to get a lot of money from office buildings. Now, in a big city like DC, that's very expensive. The office buildings are worth a lot of money, and DC collects a lot of taxes from them. There's also a method for DC to collect taxes on office buildings that are being bought and sold, and that can bring in a lot of tax revenue for a city.
So post-pandemic, these buildings become worth less, they get bought and sold less, ergo less money coming into the coffers.
Yeah. So property taxes, which is just the fact of expensive office buildings existing in DC, has been on the downgrade because DC's office buildings are worth less than they were. And because buildings are worth less than they were, the city is seeing fewer of them bought and sold, which means less property recordation and transfer taxes. So those two things are, you don't hear all that much about them unless they're a problem for a city government, but that would probably force a city government in another year to rely on things like hotel and tourism for more visitors, and also maybe more kind of restaurants and other kinds of recreation taxes. Now, all of those buckets have been reduced numbers in the past couple of years. And if that wasn't bad enough, the city, like most other cities in the country, got an emergency injection from the federal government, the American Rescue Plan Act funding that was supposed to be kind of a stopgap against some of the problems that the lockdowns created. Well, those funds now are starting to dry up. So on every front, basically, DC is seeing all of its different sources of revenue in a tough bind.
The mayor doesn't actually drop her budget till the 20th of March. But we are hearing this already from different corners of the city government. Who's saying it? What are their agendas? What should we take from that?
For sure. So the first real troubling hint that we heard was from Council Chairman Phil Mendelson, who said at one of his press events last week that DC could expect something like $600 to $800 million budget deficit this year.
Whoa. That's a big number, but it requires me to ask, how big is the budget, just so people can get a sense of how big a number that is?
It's something like $20 billion. So it doesn't sound like a large amount of money when you hear so many billions, but given DC's kind of revenue sources, it has a major impact potentially on how the city can fund services and things of that nature.
And DC is also required by law, by federal law, to keep a balanced budget.
Yeah, so they can't just carry debts over year in and year out. And part of the problem is that they have a challenge where they need to repay their reserves if those reserves have been depleted.
All right. So the DC council chairman comes out and says, hey, we may have a big budget deficit. The mayor's team has been sending word that, hey, you guys, we got to brace for a pretty tough season. Some people would look at it and say, all right, roughly $20 billion city budget, $800 million. That is, you know, less than 5% over. Isn't that kind of easy to paper over? I don't suspect that's the case. So tell me what are some of the possibilities for dealing with this?
So DC has a couple of different options. The two big ones, of course, are either reducing services or increasing taxes. Chairman Mendelson suggested that it's possible that both could happen. Now, as he'd mentioned, there are a couple of different taxes DC could increase. It could increase property taxes. It could increase sales taxes. It could increase other kinds of taxes. But as he'd mentioned, there really is a good case to not do each of those things. DC already has a pretty high tax burden. There is already a sort of a reliance on the housing market in DC and how home values have become more expensive in the city. And that's, you know, one of few good signs, but it also really creates some of the affordability issues that we've seen in DC. As far as cuts, Chairman Mendelson said that it's likely, you know, new programs could see cuts just because they're new, but that probably DC's budget directors are going to be looking through a little bit of everything. Now, DC held its annual March Madness event, and Mayor Bowser mentioned quote unquote interventions that she's going to present to the council that says very little about what she's thinking, but that sounds to me like there's potentially going to be a little bit of both.
There's also talk of like new taxes on things like rideshare, hotel rooms, stuff where in theory a lot of the people who get hit wouldn't be DC residents. What's the argument pro and con that, and could those be enough to cover this money?
Well, certainly, you know, those two technologies have disrupted existing industries where there already are taxes. Of course, hotel taxes bring in significant revenue for the district, and taxi services have been taxed in a more traditional way as well. If you think about it, DC is a metro region of 700,000 DC residents and 5 million Virginia and Maryland residents. So it makes sense that the many folks from outside of the district who come in would face some of those burdens, specifically because it is the center of the city. And there are a lot of things there that those kind of regional residents benefit from. On the other hand, that continues sort of the problem that we've been seeing in the region lately and 100 other news stories and several of your guys' different episodes, which is DC versus Maryland and Virginia. You'd love to think that the region operates as though it is one entity, but it does not. You know, you've seen this fight over Metro, this fight over monumental sports. Virginia and Maryland have been faring better economically, Virginia in particular, because folks live in a large metro region but benefit from setting up shop in one municipality that does not have to share some of the same burdens.
Everybody knows that getting that perfect Mother's Day gift is basically impossible, but we promise Mom will love this one. The Capitol Hill Restoration Society House and Garden Tour is back this Mother's Day weekend on May 11th and May 12th. Tour 9 elaborate homes and gardens and 3 historic buildings on Capitol Hill that you can't normally enter. And if you can't make it, check out the Capitol Hill Restoration Society's other events like walking tours and monthly preservation cafes. You can buy tickets for the Mother's Day House and Garden Tour on Eventbrite, and be sure to follow CHRS on Facebook and Instagram at Capitol Hill Restoration DC. Hey, DC. One of the reasons hosting this show is so important to me is this statistic from the U.S. Surgeon General. Ready for it? The percentage of Americans who report feeling very attached to their community is only 16%. Now, there's a lot of ways to look at that number, which, by the way, is pre-pandemic data. But here's how I'm thinking about it. CityCast DC is something that we're building to make it easier for you to feel attached to this community. I don't want anyone to feel lonely or bored here in DC. I want you to know how you can help make this city more fun and more livable, and where all the good local stuff is at. And if you think we're doing a good job, I'm asking if you'll become a member of CityCast DC today at membership.citycast.fm. You'll get exclusive perks like ad-free listening, event invites, and members-only guides. But most of all, you'll be part of a project dedicated to making the number of DC residents who feel attached to this community a heck of a lot higher than 16%. See you over at membership.citycast.fm, and thank you.
So this strikes me as like a pretty perilous circumstance. A lot of the talk, you know, in DC, the sense that the public schools were improving undergirded a lot of the growth and the appreciation in housing costs, people's wanting to move here or raise families here. If there's big cuts to the school system, that puts that in peril. The region has averted for now a catastrophic slowdown in metro by ponying up. If they're not able to pony up, that could be a thing that has huge impacts. Obviously, there's a lot of talk about crime, increasing spending on various social services to revive downtown. Not being able to do that, it seems like particularly dangerous now in a way that it might not have been a few years ago.
Yeah, absolutely. And as said, you know, you guys had that great episode a few weeks ago about housing affordability. Home values are one of the only numbers that's going well for DC right now. Should it increase taxes and make it more unaffordable to live in the district? About $200 million of this projected budget deficit is replenishing Metro on DC side. Should DC not do that and leave the trains underfunded? You know, it's a series of bad choices, and which is going to be the least bad choice that the city has to deal with right now.
What's sort of weird about this also is that just a couple months ago, we were covering stories where the council was fulminating against the mayor for not spending enough and for underfunding things, and we need more money for rent assistance and other funds. Were they just unaware of this looming thing, or are we talking apples and oranges here?
I think a number of different factors have come into play, even in the past couple of months, that have really hit on the budget. DC has had to deal with now four different sports teams that it's trying to deal with, each one having its own economic desires. The federal budget, which includes various kind of mechanisms to help DC, it's been almost constantly in turmoil the past few months. You know, we've written about so many potential shutdowns. I don't even remember how many at this point. But, you know, DC really has to go off of the revenue that it brings in. So it releases revenue projections every couple of months. Some of those numbers have been good. For instance, DC is collecting maybe more restaurant tax revenue than it expected. But the real shocker has been how quickly commercial real estate is losing value in the region. Every major city is dealing with this problem: New York, San Francisco, all of them. The struggle is that they all have a kind of a larger state that can help backstop those budgetary issues with funds from other places. DC, of course, is very small and has much less wiggle room, especially when it has to keep its budget in the black every year.
Could we levy a special tax on basketball relocation?
I mean, that's entirely up to the DC government. That's up to the voters to pick someone who wants something like that.
But listen, it's awesome that we have you on today because you cover commercial real estate and we're talking about the budget, and the budget is so dependent on the thing you spend most of your days covering. Give me your sense, what's likely to happen next? We know that the mayor will roll out a budget. There will be a process between her and the council. How do you see it going?
I mean, it's going to be a combination of both. I think we're going to see continued struggles. We might see some tax increases. I think what we're going to see, though, is painful cuts to services, which is a real shame. I guess I wasn't here in the 90s, so I can't say how bad it was then, but we're in a position that's as difficult, arguably, as it was then. Several officials have said this is some of the worst numbers that they've seen yet. It's just a continued struggle for the city.
Tristan, thank you so much for being here.
Hey, appreciate it.
And that's all for today here on CityCast DC. If you enjoyed the show, why not tell a friend, rate the show, leave us a review, and subscribe to our morning newsletter. It's free, so it won't put a dent in your own budget. We'll be back tomorrow morning with more news from around the city. Bye.